Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as you probably heard in the last day, or maybe you even voted, New Jersey now has a Republican nominee for governor to challenge Governor Corzine. He is, of course, Chris Christie, who won the Republican primary on Tuesday. With me now is the last Republican governor of New Jersey, Christy Todd Whitman. She now works for a group that promotes nuclear power. We will talk about both things. Governor Whitman, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi. Yeah, it's good to be with you.
So
delighted.
You've been so outspoken on this show and elsewhere for the moderate wing of the Republican Party. Are you breathing a sigh of relief that Steve Lonergan didn't win this primary?
Well, I'm certainly very, very excited to have Chris Christie as our nominee because I think he has a very good chance of winning. He appeals to the sensibilities of the New Jersey voters, and I think he can be our answer in this election.
New Jersey has been trending so Democratic in statewide elections. I think you were the last Republican to win a statewide race.
Right. And no, that's true.
And there was so much new Democratic voter registration behind the Obama campaign last year. So how can Chris Christie, who comes from the Bush administration, a Bush appointee as U.S. attorney, possibly win?
Well, there are a couple of things. First of all, a lot of that trending is dissident Republicans, people who got fed up with what they saw as an ever-narrowing party, one that was developing litmus tests in just about every issue. And so they're not really Democrats, but they just got dissatisfied with that kind of party, and that's not where Chris is coming from. He's not from that wing of the party. Also, the state's not in good shape. It's not unlike what we faced when I ran. A governor who has had a lot of challenges, yes, but has made some bad decisions. And because of those decisions, we're seeing our unemployment rates exceed the national average. We're seeing businesses lose the state and taxes going up. So it's the same kind of dynamic as when I ran against Jim Florio, and we know that I was able to capture that and make the kind of proposals for changes that resonated with the electorate in New Jersey, and I think Chris can do the same thing.
Here is a clip of Governor Corzine from his campaign kickoff earlier this week on why not to elect a Republican to run the state.
They say that government should be small, small enough to slip under your bedroom door, small enough to root for a new president to fail, narrow enough to divide us by gender and ethnicity over a Supreme Court nominee, and self-righteous enough to dictate their own religious beliefs to the rest of us.
Your reaction to that, Governor Whitman?
That's not my Republican Party, but he is unfortunately reflecting some of the rhetoric that we hear. But those people who engage in that kind of hate and that kind of small-mindedness, that kind of narrowness of focus are not reflective of the party as a whole and certainly not reflective of my wing of the party or of Chris Christie and his wing of the party. We're much broader than that, and those are not the issues that Chris is going to be running on. He is going to be talking about the fact that we need to do more for our economy. We need to cut the taxes in a way that makes sense, but you can't do that in a vacuum. You got to balance the budgets. Those are the kinds of things that we've done before. It's not as if this can't happen. People forget that my first budget when I came in after Florio was actually less in dollars than Florio's previous budget had been. And the next year was flat. And at the same time, we cut taxes, which stimulated job creation. We've done it before in the state of New Jersey. We can do it again. And Chris has shown leadership when he was a prosecutor and the fact that he is unafraid of taking on some of the tough issues.
Of course, many Democrats blame you in no small measure for the state's financial problems, saying you cut state income taxes across the board in too blanket a way, forcing property taxes up in many locales and taking on more state debt. Do you take any responsibility for that?
Well, actually, during my term in office, property tax increases were the lowest in 20 years. Since the Democrats have been on, they have gone up substantially, and the debt has ballooned since I was governor. The debt that went up when I was governor, part of it was taking on the pension and putting it on the books. Jim Florio carried it off the books as if it weren't a legitimate debt of government, which I thought it was, so we put it on. So when you look at it, they've been in power, total power, for over 8 years now. It's time that they stepped up and said this is their record, and they've got to run on it.
All right, and we will be inviting Governor Florio on as well for his take on that history as this race proceeds to November. You are representing a pro-nuclear power group these days. Are you finding the Obama administration open to the nuclear argument as a post-carbon fuel.
Yes, they are definitely open to it, although they appear to be somewhat schizophrenic, a bit schizophrenic. I co-chair something called CASE, Clean Safe Energy Coalition, which is co-chaired. My co-chair is Dr. Patrick Moore, who is one of the co-founders of Greenpeace. And what we're about is trying to get information on nuclear out. And as we talk with members of the Obama administration, you heard Secretary Chu recently say that nuclear needed to be part of our future. Obama, the president himself, has talked about nuclear. So there is a definite a willingness to listen and to talk and to understand the importance if you're going to have clean, reliable base power, that nuclear has a role to play, understanding it's not the silver bullet that's going to solve all our issues. But on the other hand, you have the concern with Harry Reid as the leader in the Senate, who comes from the state of Nevada, where the National Repository was due to be located, and that's been taken off the table because of his concerns. And clearly, that's an issue for nuclear. Those waste fuel rods are still perfectly safely stored on site, but the federal law calls for a national repository, and that's something with which they're going to have to come to grips.
And the president tends to say that nuclear power, when sufficient safeguards are in place, would be acceptable to him, safeguards especially for disposal. What do you think his standard is for that, and how different is it from yours and the industry's?
Well, I suspect that there's a lot of harmony there. I mean, everybody wants to be safe. There's nobody in the industry doesn't want to be safe. And as I said before, right now, those spent rods are being safely stored on site. But we need a national repository at some point, because that is called for in the law. That where they're stored now are probably good, most of those sites, for another 30 years. And with recycling or reprocessing, which is something we need to get into, and that the president has also called for, it's something being done in France, being done in Japan, and we can do it. That will vastly reduce the amount of spent fuel that needs to be stored anywhere. And that's going to go a long way toward helping allay the concerns that people have about the storage of the spent fuel.
Some environmentalists say one national repository is the wrong way to go, that regions of the country need to take responsibility for their own waste, for whatever kind of energy they generate. And that's the only way to really have a legitimate nuclear power debate. If we're going to use nuclear power and generate dangerous nuclear waste, then we have to take advantage, responsibility for it in our own backyard.
Well, that's something that Congress needs to decide. They're the ones who passed the original law, and they need to decide that. CASE does not take a position on that. We're just saying that people need the facts about the safety, the reliability, the affordability of nuclear power, so that as we look at how are we going to meet our increased energy demand that's estimated to be a 21% increase in electricity demand by 2030, how are we going to do that in an environmentally sound way? And while that it's not a nuclear power and nothing else, it means nuclear, it needs renewables, it means conservation. We're never going to get away from coal entirely. It's better than 50% of our power today, and there's going to be oil and gas. But we need to be realistic in understanding that this is a big problem that's going to require more than just one thing and one form of energy to answer.
We just have a minute left. Do you think the people of New Jersey are happy with the nuclear power plants in the state today in a way that they would welcome more of them at this time?
They're certainly happy with the power that they've been getting and at the cost they've been getting. And one thing that CASE has done is a survey that showed that people who live in communities near nuclear power plants are over 80% favorably inclined toward that power and would be comfortable at about a 78% rate to seeing another generator put on those sites.
Those are the people who choose to live nearby. You think an additional nuclear power plant could win a referendum in New Jersey today?
It'd be a tough sell. It's no question. It's going to be tough everywhere, but I think it could when you get the facts out, when people really stop to think about what's true and what's fiction, so they're not basing all their opinions on nuclear and what the Simpsons have portrayed it as being.
Christy Todd Whitman, former governor of New Jersey, former head of the U.S. EPA, now the co-chair of the Clean and Safe Energy Coalition, CASE, which represents the nuclear power industry. Thank you very much for joining
us. My pleasure. Take care.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More of the Obama Cairo speech coming up. Stay with us.